Maybe our greatest president, many think, was Abraham Lincoln. But during his day, I'm not sure you know, that he wasn't very loved then. Sometimes you're not loved in the immediate, and then when you look back on a legacy, you love more. But one of Abraham Lincoln's earliest political enemies was a man named Edwin Stanton, and he was vicious toward President Lincoln. He called him a low cunning clown, and one of his favorite insults was he called him the original gorilla. Abe Lincoln was a really tall man, not the most handsome. He would say, "It is ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when we could find one right here in the White House." Lincoln never responded to the slander. But when President Lincoln needed a Secretary of War, he chose Stanton. And when his colleagues were just incredulous about why he would do that, Lincoln simply replied, "He's the best man for the job." Years later, when President Lincoln's body was laying in state, Stanton looked into the coffin and said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever known." See, his animosity was broken by President Lincoln's patience. We have other examples in the scriptures. Example of Stephen, who while he's being stoned, he looks up to heaven and says, "Father, Father, don't hold us against them." The Apostle Paul, he's in Ephesus and he's beaten and dragged outside and left for dead. And when he recovers enough strength, he goes right back into Ephesus again. Then, of course, our Savior, Jesus on the cross, before he breathed his last, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us what love is, what love isn't, what love does, what love does not do. And if you want to know what a loving person is, the very first thing that Paul says that love is patience. We ought not to separate those two. Sometimes we're tempted to do that. We're tempted to think that the fruit of the Spirit is many different components, and we can be very, very strong in some and very, very empty in others. That's just not the nature of the Holy Spirit. When we think about being loving, we think about being patient. You can't say, "Well, I'm a really, really loving person. I just have no patience." Because the two are inseparable. Love is patient, 1 Corinthians 13 says. And we're talking about this because we're learning about maintaining true community. We understand who we are as individuals. We understand our identity in the context of the community. But the community, if you haven't learned yet, is difficult to maintain. We can talk about all the glorious, "Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if," and speak platitudes about the wonder and the glory of being together. But down in the dirt, down in just the root of everything, maintaining true community is difficult. We need patience. We need patience. And today I'm not talking about patience with circumstances or perseverance with circumstances. Today the focus is on being patient with each other. That will keep us strong, church. That will keep us vibrant. That will keep us forgiving each other. That will keep us from judging each other. That will keep us from being offended by each other. When we're patient with each other. As Wesley read, if you don't love, you don't know God. So I would say if we're not patient with each other, I wonder if we truly are being transformed into his image. Love is patient. It is not easily angered. It always perseveres. Those are words that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 4, or 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And they all kind of fit together, those words do. Patience, not easily angered, persevering. Patience is putting up with each other. It takes a long time to boil. Easily angered is simply, in the Greek language, that you're not easily provoked. Some of us have tempers. It's easy to provoke us. It's easy to get a reaction out of us. And perseverance is simply patience over a long period of time. As Sean was describing his vacation, that climb up Angel's Landing, that you have to take one step at a time. And then when you reach the end, you could say you persevered. But that perseverance was simply one patience after the next patience after the next patience after the next patience. Patience is being able to avenge yourself, but choosing not to. When I'm patient with someone, I'm forgiving. When I'm patient with someone, I'm accommodating and I'm not judgmental. It's interesting, this word in 1 Corinthians, the one that Paul uses, it was exclusively used of Christians in his day. Because in the Greek world, self-sacrificing, non-avenging patience was considered weakness, and it was unworthy of a truly noble man or a noble woman. Aristotle said, for example, that the Greek virtue was refusing to tolerate insult or refusing to tolerate injury and to strike back in retaliation. That was strength. That was virtuous. Vengeance was a virtue. And the world always has this tendency to make heroes out of those who don't take it and are going to fight back, who stand up for their own rights. Well, Ecclesiastes 7:8 says this, the end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Well, what do we need? Why do we need patience to maintain true community? I don't think it was by accident that Paul wrote this word first when he said, love is. Let me show you the most excellent way. It's patience. Because of all the issues that the Corinthian church were having. Issues in the church, issues in the world, issues with each other, issues with worship, issues with selfishness, issues with sexuality, issues with whom they'll follow. Just the Corinthian church was just rife with division and conflict. And Paul is saying right off the bat, if you're going to be loving and God is loving, you must be patient with each other. Well, we need this patience. We need it to maintain true community simply because we're different. You ever notice how different we are? And I'm not talking about skin color or language. Just we're different. And differences create misunderstandings. Many of our conflicts are not an issue of clear right or wrong, but simply we're different. And we think different. We see the world different. Sometimes you look at one another and say, I just can't figure that person out. I just can't make heads or tails why they would think the way they think. And if you're married this morning, it might be the best example is in your very own household. Am I right? You married this person, but now after a few years of being married, or maybe it only takes a few hours of being married, I'm not sure what your circumstance was, you find out how different you are. One man said, my wife put up with my culinary experiments until I put ginger in the curry. She loved that cat. The woman said, that one just cracks me up. I'm sorry. I just like that one. I once gave my husband the silent treatment for an entire week. When it was over, he said, we really got along well for a while there, didn't we? My wife told me I ruined her birthday. I'm not sure why she told me that. I didn't even know it was a birthday. I don't understand the way he acts. I don't understand what she does. She doesn't understand me. He's on a different wavelength. She doesn't make any sense. How can she think that way? Or my parents are from another time zone, another era. Or to the kids, why do I have to tell them 48 times? Why do you talk the way you do? Why are you so emotional? Do any of those ring a bell in your home? I would be so patient, so slow to get angry if you would just get it together. That's really the way we think. Love is patient. We're all original. We're all different. And God made us that way. How many are cup half full people? A few of you. How many are cup half empty people? How many do not want to play this game right now? You just don't, okay. How many are extroverts? How many are introverts? Okay, a little more are playing now. Okay, good. Would you rather Country music or country music? Classic rock? Rap? Rap is not even music. What are you talking about? Coffee is great? Satan's brew. No. Okay. We're all different. Because we're all different, we need to be patient with each other. We need to be patient. Because we're all broken, and brokenness causes us to separate from each other, self-protect and self-promote. That's why we need patience. We're all broken. You found that out already, right? You already know that we're all broken. We're broken in different ways, though. You're broken different than I am. And because you're broken different than I am, you're going to be sensitive to different things than I am. Something that would bother me won't bother you at all. Something I think is just nothing, you might think is a huge deal. And we have to be patient with each other and understand that. We are all broken. We're just broken differently. We're all wired differently. I'm not on the five love language scale, I'm not a quality time person. No, I love quality time, don't get me wrong. Say, oh, pastor doesn't want to spend time with us. He just doesn't care. No, I'm just trying to say that we could be separate for a long, long time. I've got friends I haven't talked to in years, and as soon as we're together, we picked up right where we left off. I don't feel unloved if we're not spending a lot of time together. Now, some of you, if you don't talk to someone every 2 hours, you feel like the world is falling apart because you're wired that way. You're wired for quality time. I'm a physical touch person, words of affirmation person. I function on the three A's, attention, affirmation, affection. That's who I am. So I'm a hugger, and I've kept practically every note you sent on Pastor Appreciation Day in a file that's this wide now. Because that works for me. And so we need to be patient with each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient with everyone. And in that phrase includes all of us that are different than everybody else. And really, that's the way it is. There isn't one person who's exactly like you. You're always going to find someone who sees the world a little different than you do, or likes something that you don't like, or embraces something that you would never touch. Be patient with everyone. Well, how can I be more patient? Patience is learned. Patience is developed. As we get closer to God, the Holy Spirit pours into us. And we are transformed into his likeness. And you know, the more we become like Jesus, the more patient we will become because he's patient. And aren't you glad that he's patient? 200 years ago, Thomas Jefferson wrote, when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100. 100 years later, Mark Twain wrote, when angry, count to 4. When very angry, swear. 100 years after that, in the movies we watch today, when angry, blow them away right now. We've changed a bit, haven't we? Typically, there are two kinds of people. Now, there's always exceptions, but two kinds of people when you get frustrated and when you're just going to lose patience. There's skunks and there's turtles. Skunks are those people that when they get frustrated, they get angry, and they just spew all over everybody. And the whole place stinks because of their spew. Turtles, on the other hand, when they get angry, they suck their head into their shell. But don't get too close, because if you get too close, they're going to reach out and snap at you. How many are skunks in the room this morning? How many are turtles? Practically no one still wants to play this game at all. Well, skunks, you make everything stink, and turtles, we never get to know who you are until you snap us. We need to get out of our shells, turtles. And skunks, you need to just wait a little bit before you spray. God has a better way to do all this, because neither of those work. Neither of those help. Number one, I want to give you four things about how to learn to develop patience. Besides seeking God and listening to him and growing closer to him, four practical things you can do. Number one is learn by listening. Learn by listening. Proverbs 18:18 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You ever answered before listening? You ever wish you could just put that toothpaste back in the tooth tube? Wish I had a giant net that for every dumb thing I've ever said, I could just grab it and put it back in. But it's out and it's too late. If you want to learn to be patient, really the key is understanding. If you don't understand someone, you can't relate to them. You really can't have a relationship with someone if you don't understand who they are, how they think. No understanding, no relationship. But if I do understand you, the more patient I'll be with you. Because I understand why you said what you said. I understand why you did what you did. I understand why you reacted that way. I understand why you said what you said. And especially if someone has hurt you or hurt me, if I understand what the motivation was or why they would have reacted the way they did because of maybe a hurt or a sting or a wound that's in their life, then I can give a little bit more patience because I understand them better. Well, you know, how do you understand people better? Listen to them. Listen to them. I've learned this just more so vividly. I've worked on being a decent listener over my lifetime, but just lately, I've heard things that people have said that without responding in some kind of shocked way, inside is like, I never knew that about you. I never knew. And that explains a lot. It explains your viewpoint of the world. It explains why you might have opinions that are different. We can learn a lot about each other by just listening to them. Not just hearing. How many know hearing is different than listening? It's very different. I can nod my head and I can say I heard you, but did I listen to you? We say things that come out of the depths of our hearts, and sometimes we'll candy coat or we'll shape those words in a way not to create a rise or a conflict, but inside there's something else happening altogether. We listen to people. How can I become more understanding? By listening. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Don't get easily angered. Be patient. Be quick to listen. How would you rate yourself? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because you're not going to do it anyway. If you rated yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a listener would you be? Not a hearer, but a listener. One being the poorest, 10 being the best. I wonder where you would place yourself. Most of us think we're good listeners when maybe we might just be good hearers. Because you see, you can listen to someone even when they're not speaking. Sometimes the loudest statements anybody will ever make is in their silence. Do we truly listen? Research has shown that 7% of the meaning of what we say is communicated through the words. But 43% is communicated with vocal tone, pitch, volume, delivery. And the remaining 50% is contained in nonverbal language, facial expression, hand gestures, body language. And that's why you only get about 50% communication when you're talking to someone on the phone, and far, far less than that through text and email. Because you miss out on all the other communication. We need to learn to listen better. Husbands, has your wife ever told you, why don't you look at me when we talk and get your face out of your phone? There's missing communication when you don't look at each other. Look at each other in the eye. And we're all guilty of that, being distracted and doing two or three other things while we're talking. If we really, really want to understand each other, we'll learn to listen. And when we understand each other, we'll be more patient. Number two, change your expectations. Here's what Philippians 2:4-5 says. This is in a modern translation. None of you should look only of his own affairs, but instead consider others' interests also. Let your attitude toward life be that of Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. When you're a servant, your expectations change. When Jesus is in the form of God, and if he's in the form of the sovereign God, his expectations are, bow to me, worship me, obey me, do what I say, do it now. That's coming from the king's expectations. But Jesus changed that. He came to earth as a servant, therefore his expectations were quite different. His lifestyle was then, let me serve you. Let me give to you. Let me lift you up. Let me make sure your needs are met. Such a different paradigm as he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. Your expectations are different. And when your expectations change, you can be more patient with each other. Don't you know it'd be so easy to be patient with people if they just did it your way? Wouldn't your house be so peaceful if your kids just agreed with everything you say? If they just said, yes, Father, O exalted ruler of my house. Every day. Young people, do that. And send your parents to the hospital. If they have a heart attack. It's the I want it now that causes us the problem. It's the I want it different that causes the problem. I want it over there instead of over there. And it's all about what I want. And that's the expectation. If we change those expectations in that, you know, you're just not going to get what you want all the time. Not going to happen. Circumstances aren't going to please you all of the time. The people in your life aren't going to do it your way most of the time. If we change those expectations and simply say, Lord, like you did, I am going to become a servant. I'm going to change my expectations. He came to earth, not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on the form of a servant, even a servant unto death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, that every being on earth and on or above the earth, on earth and beneath the earth, will exalt him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Because he changed his expectations and he served and he was patient. Our anger always starts with what we expect. Proverbs 4:22 says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Have you ever been patient on the outside but impatient on the inside? I can do that like that because that's my job. If I'm impatient with you, you're out of here. You're going to find another church with a patient pastor. So sometimes I can put on the face. Say, oh, yeah, I'm with you. Oh, it's fine. Oh, it's okay. You know, you didn't insult me. Inside, I'm going, oh, I want to take your face off right now. Not all the time and not a lot, so don't get worried. When I'm smiling at you, I'm not mad at you. It's okay. But you understand the point, right? Sometimes you can be patient on the outside, really struggling on the inside. Sometimes your expectations really throw you off. Like that present you buy for your children, and on the outside of the box it says, easy to assemble instructions. And after your hands are bloody and you've swore under your breath a million times, you're just cursing that you bought this stupid gift. Your expectations is what threw you off. If you knew it was going to be so hard, you wouldn't have bought it in the first place. It's not going to turn out perfect every time. It's not going to happen. Change the expectation. Life is not going to be the way you want it. It's not going to be when you want it. It's not going to be how you want it most of the time. But if we change the expectation and say, Lord, I'm not here to get my way. I'm here to be like you, and I'm here to be a servant. I'm here to be thankful, and I'm here to give you praise. When we behave that way, we can be more patient with people. Thomas A. Kempis, he wrote 600 years ago, be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish you to be. I love that quote. I am so much more patient with me than I am with others. I give myself so many more breaks than I give other people. Why do I want other people to change when I can't even make myself change? Let's be good listeners, not just hearers. Let's change our expectations. Number three, let's learn to make allowances for each other. Make allowances for each other. Wouldn't it be easier if everyone was as wonderful as you? Wouldn't it be great if everybody admitted you're always right? But we're not. And neither are they. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Can we just accept the fact that everybody has a bad day? Can we just accept the fact that that driver on the road that's going nuts just might be crazy late for the most important appointment in his life? Can we let each other off the hook a little bit? Can we just stop before we get mad and consider, I wonder what they're going through? The old cliche is walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And this one is poignant for me today as well, as I've learned some stories about folks that I've known for many, many, many years, but never really took the time to sit down and talk with them and listen to them. And my viewpoint about maybe habits they have or ways they see life has changed dramatically because I didn't know what they had been through. And sadly, I didn't make allowances for them, but unfortunately, there's maybe some judgment. They're just that way. I don't agree with them. And this grousey, judgmental, snap to an opinion type attitude that I know I'm guilty of. I know none of you are. But instead, taking the time and make allowances to somebody. I wonder what they're feeling right now that would make them react that way. When that person passes by and is rude, I wonder what they just heard 30 seconds before I confronted them that made them mad. So that when in actuality they weren't really mad at me, they were mad at somebody else and they're still fighting with it, and I just happened to step right in the middle of that mess that they were in. I like to read biographies, lots of biographies, historical figures and sports figures. And a lot of times our sports figures get condemned for being rude to people, to fans. As I've read a lot of their stories, you hear the backstory of what just happened 2 minutes before they were put on camera. And on camera, all the people see is what a bad mood they're in. When you find out just before that, they got a phone call from a special person that was struggling or passed away. And they're not robots and don't know how to flip the switch. But the world forms all these opinions about how just dumb and ugly and judgmental and these people. They didn't know the whole story. Can we just stop a minute? Wait a second. Listen. Lower expectations and make allowance that maybe, just maybe, before you came into that person's life, they had another story that you don't know. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. I want to be like God and not be so quick to judge and overlook an offense because maybe there's a story I don't know. So let's be good listeners. Let's lower expectations a little bit. Take the form of a bondservant like Jesus did and make allowances for people. And last, the way to learn patience is to always remember this. And the last one's the most important. Let's remember that God was patient with you. That's the biggest one. If you forget everything else, forget about all the first three, remember this. God is patient with us. Amen? How many people in here now? You better play this game right now. How many know that God is patient with you? Everybody get your hand up. At home online, get your hand up. Because this is the one we got to know. God is patient with us. Robert Ingersoll in the last century was a well-known atheist in the beginning of the 1900s and would often stop in the middle of one of his lectures against God and say, I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I've said about him. And he would use that fact when 5 minutes had passed and he wasn't dead to say, see, I've proved that God is not real. Theodore Parker, a Christian speaker, said of Ingersoll's claims, and did this gentleman think he could exhaust God's patience in 5 minutes? God is patient with us. God perseveres with us because we don't need God to be patient with us once. We need God to be patient with us once and twice and three times and 10 times and 70 times, seven times and an eternal amount of times. How many are with me that we know we want God to be patient with us every single step of the way? And when I know God is patient with me and he's equally patient with the person I'm not patient with, I better rethink that whole scenario. That if God is patient with that person that I'm really battling with right now, and God is patient with me, I maybe ought to be patient with the one that God is patient with. You'll never have to be more patient with anybody more than God has. And nobody will have to be more patient with you than God has been patient with you. Jesus did hang on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them." And Jesus, standing as our mediator, constantly turns to the Father and says, "Father, don't get mad at them. Remember what I did on the cross. Remember, I took your wrath and I bore it in my body. I took it. God, don't get mad at them. Remember, I bore it. I bore the wrath." Parents, the next time you want to say to your kids, "Would you just grow up?" Remember, God could easily say to us in our spiritual journey, "Would you just grow up?" But he doesn't. When you lose your patience and you say, "Hurry up, why is it taking so long?" Maybe hear God whisper, "Yeah, a lot of times I wish you'd hurry up and not take so long to get mature. But I'm going to be patient with you." Romans 15:7 says, "Accept each other just as Christ accepted you." The motive here is this. The reason I am to accept people is because God accepted me. How can I not accept someone God has already accepted? The reason I'm to be patient with people is because God has been patient with me. The reason I am to try to get along with others is because God came alongside and he loved me. The starting point is always God. It's always what he's done first. Like the children's song says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong, they are weak, for he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." Because Jesus loves us, we are to love. And love is patient. You might pray this prayer as you're working on your patience. Pray it. No, it's just some words, but it's a good prayer. "Lord, help me to remember how patient you are with me. Help me to learn about the people I want relationships with by listening to them. Help me to lower my expectations and serve them instead of seeking my own way. Help me to make allowances for people because I don't know their whole story. Help me this week to treat other people the way you treat me, with patience and kindness." As we close right now, think about that person. Think about that one that's hard to be patient with, that just rubs you. God died for them. He's patient with them. If God is in you, then let the God that is in you be patient with them. I've often said those words, "Lord, I cannot do it, but you can do it through me." You know what? When you surrender yourself to the Lord that way, he does it. You find your attitude change. Because it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And the life you live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I want to be that kind of patient with the people in this world and the people in my life. Because if we're patient that way, not easily angered, persevering, that's love. That's love. And when we love that way, we will have true community. Father, I pray in Jesus' name on this Father's Day. That's a great day. Now after this, there'll be visits to restaurants and barbecues will be kicked on and cards will be shared. Lord, I pray that in all of that, that you would help us to be patient with each other. Help us to listen, to be present, to serve, to hear the story, and to love like you love. God, I know right now that some, their fathers have passed. My father has. Well, it's a little different Father's Day for them. They miss their father. If there are those that are grieving right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you help them to receive your love as our ultimate Father. For others, there might be estrangement. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd soften the hearts of those and that maybe there could be reconciliation. Because that's what you're all about as a loving, patient Father. So Lord, no matter what scenario we're in, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would help us to not be easily provoked, to persevere, to be patient. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for being patient with us. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. Amen.
Just a good reminder that if, as we're walking through this, just self-reflection of, God, why am I so impatient? I just want to encourage you this morning. If you would set aside time, and I get it. If you've got some lunch plans and you got to get yourselves out of here, no problem. Don't worry. Don't take any offense in having to head out. But I just want to encourage you, as the prayer partners come to the left and the right, to pray with you if you'd like to have prayer. I want to invite you this morning just to ask God, as you're closing your eyes and you're thinking of Him next to you, with you, I want to invite you to ask Him, why? God, what is the source of my impatience? Why am I so easily angered? Because at the core of it, it's fear. And as we've been learning, when there's fear, we're walking in a false self. Something that's not right. And it's a belief that something's wrong about God and who He is. I just want to invite you this morning, if you have the time, just to ask Him, God, what am I afraid of? Would you show this to me, Lord? Allow Him to reveal that to you. I'm just going to continue to play, and if you have the opportunity, I just want to encourage you to do so. If you got to head out of here, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. And if you'd like prayer, we have the prayer partners here ready to pray with you.